Utilities, I have 7 o'clock. Everyone please rise for Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Coke.
Here.
Colosimo.
Present.
Plocher. Milshewski.
Here.
Freighters.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Tarulis.
Here.
Hernandez.
Here.
A quorum is established.
Any amendments to tonight's agenda? Hearing none. We have a couple of presentations today. As you'll notice, we do have some additional staff and their family and friends in the audience with us this evening. And we're doing some employee appreciation awards tonight for their dedicated years of service and all that they do for the city. So I would like to invite Dave Brown up first for his years of service and his immediate department head.
I love you, Dave.
Thanks, Jordan. Good, how are you?
So everybody gets to see. I know how proud you are to be in public. Dave actually came to us in 2006 as a part-time summer worker, I believe. His brother had followed before him, and we had his younger brother follow after him. So we really knew that Dave was going to be with us for a while after we hired him in 2007 full-time. And he was in the Parks Department until 2015. He worked at the ball fields. Did you work in beautification as well, and kind of did a little bit of everything. And through that time, he also snowplowed for Public Works and did whatever needed to be done. And in 2015, we had a sewer department position open up, and Dave decided he wanted to broaden his horizons a little bit, and we are very grateful he did. He's fit in well. He's learned our system like the back of his hand, and we really appreciate what he's done for us. Dave shows up to work every day on time, smile on his face, ready to go. And he's responsible, he's good-natured, and Terry, like this, he's a White Sox fan. I would like to thank you, Dave, personally.
Sure.
And you, I hope you have a long career here.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
Dedicated service, United City of Yorkville, David Brown, 2007, 2017, with the city logo on there.
Perfect.
There you go,
nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Wait, can you guys turn towards me?
Your family.
Dave, hold on.
Oh. Yeah, John,
turn towards me.
Oh, come on, are you kidding me? You can have Tony.
Come on.
You can have Tony email you a picture.
Don't you want a picture with his wife?
Michelle.
Let's get one of these two first.
That's a better one anyway.
Yeah, we're not going on this one.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Agenda, we have Officer Ketchmark.
We're going to be more militaristic because we're in uniform and it looks better. I'd like to recognize Officer Ketchmark for being with the department since March of 2007. He's a field training officer and evidence technician. In 2008, he received a burglar bar for actually catching someone in the act of committing a burglar. In 2009, he received a commendation for life-saving award for a commendation for catching an armed subject, suicidal subject. And then in 2011, he received an Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists award for his number of DUIs. In 2017, he received an award from the Kendall County Coroner's Office for a death investigation. So join with me, Matt, and his family. Join with me for congratulating him on 10 years of service.
That's right, we have the same little plaque. Oh, it has your name on it. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
trigger.
Structure.
culture is something that is going to be something that's going to be critical for communities in the future. Less than 10% of all U.S. communities and cities have access to this infrastructure, and we're really excited about the potential opportunity to be bringing it to Yorkville. MetroNet is headquartered in Evansville, Indiana. Although we're headquartered in Evansville, Indiana, we are expanding our footprint rapidly, 200% over the last 3 years in states adjacent and surrounding the state. We started in 2004, and what we did is we had a loan that was given to us to help expand broadband. Back in that year, broadband was going to be expanded in rural communities. So we started in some of the smallest communities in Indiana. Evansville is one of the larger communities in Indiana, and we still do not have access to the type of infrastructure that Seymour, Indiana has, which is a very small town because of that grant and that loan that we had in 2004. Since that time, we've grown to almost over 30 communities within Indiana, Illinois, and are recently expanding our footprint to Kentucky and looking at other areas in between. I thought this slide important because a lot of people don't understand what fiber is. Fiber is a connection that follows power. We have a really good relationship with ComEd, and we've been working in the region with ComEd on following their bridge to establish our world-class infrastructure. If you see poles in a particular area, we strand the fiber onto poles and work with ComEd on make-ready and that accordingly. If ComEd is in public right-of-way or any other utility in easements underground, we follow that grid as well. We just have several Indiana and Illinois gigabit communities that I thought you would have of interest. The ones in Illinois are the ones that we recently achieved local franchise approval. Since this slide was made, we recently achieved approval in North Aurora, Batavia, Geneva, St. Charles, and we will be achieving local franchise approval in South Elgin on Monday. Our approach is sort of what separates us. I like to tell people that we're large enough to get the work done, but we're small enough to work with each community individually on the best approach for their city. One of the things that we pride ourselves on is our high level of customer service. Part of our corporate culture is serving with passion. It's something that we believe in a lot, and it's been really, it's behooved us very well. A lot of times when we enter a market with this type of infrastructure, sometimes we're the second and sometimes third entrant into a market. So we believe our customer service has been a game changer for us in achieving the penetration levels that we need to be successful. And let me go back and also say that once we get involved in a community, the economic development piece is quite rapid. What we do is employ local contractors who have been with us for a long time, for 3 years now. We employ local technicians. We typically find a storefront whereby people can try out the types of speed that this technology provides. We hire people for that storefront, business representatives. Our people from corporate headquarters in both Evansville and Kansas City actually come to that hub that we established. So we're right away starting to improve the economic development in all communities that we serve. Our residential products are fiber internet. Our lowest speed is 100 meg down, 25 up. That's the lowest we will go. And I used to, when I did this presentation, my colleagues would say, you know, you're a visionary, don't talk about price. But I've since learned that we offer 100 meg down and 25 up at $49.95. So that's what you can get. We also, our highest infrastructure speed right now for internet is a gig. So you can get a gig to your home, which is really great for streaming and that type of thing, for $89.95. The thing that I find most compelling in my work with MetroNet, and that I like that we have not changed this at all since I've been with the organization during this growth period, is we do not require any residential contracts. We're so confident in the technology that we are providing that we believe that once people experience the types of speeds and downloads that you can access through this, we don't lose our customers, plus with that customer service piece. It's very interesting, and that the best way to explain fiber optics is this. Whenever a MetroNet comes in and lays our infrastructure into the public right-of-way, and a person chooses to try our infrastructure out, we literally strand a piece of fiber to your home. The best way to describe that is the only devices on that strand are yours. So the only devices in your house, television, iPads, anything, computers, the only speeds that will be touched upon are yours. Where I live, it kind of comes to the node or in our neighborhood and we all share, which is sometimes sometimes why speeds vary so much. This is a direct connection to your home or business. Another residential product is our fiber TV. Without going through all those features, it's just interesting to note that because you're having a fiber optic connection, which is light, our regular TV picture is better than HD because those pixels are traveling across light to provide that to your home. Our channel lineup, this is another thing I've done for here, is very similar, so you get the Cubs and anything you need there as well. So we have all those stations that you're used to. It's just that our picture is a lot clearer. And incidentally, I find it interesting, I read an article that within 10 years, cable will be gone, and you'll be streaming only on your, you know, on the internet for all of your capabilities. The good thing about having a fiber connection is that once that capability continues to be needed, all we do is turn it up because it's light, so we can go from a gig to 5 gigs to 10 gigs accordingly. It's virtually future-proof. This type of infrastructure will last over 50 years or more. So. We also have a fiber phone. A lot of times, a lot of our customers in our towns, we do really well with communities that are adjacent to large cities, as we do with communities that have colleges in them, or if we're downstate in Bloomington Normal. We do really well because people appreciate that technology. We have a lot of telecommuters that appreciate having that opportunity, and they do appreciate the clarity of the fiber phone as well. Business products, we will have a whole business team that will come in and work with businesses to individualize their products. We have a hosted PBX phone system that is bar none. We also provide wide area networks. A lot of the healthcare institutions who have satellite campuses appreciate us supplying that wide area network to them as well. And speaking of healthcare, having this type of infrastructure as we move, as technology continues to grow, I think it's interesting that, you know, hospitals, they have a lot, all the fiber they need to keep us well. What I think is a game changer in some of the communities I've been to is there's a doctor in your neighborhood. He gets that call in the middle of the night. With this type of infrastructure, he can immediately receive an image and then download his image back on his way to the hospital. I think that's something that you think about with smart medicine as well. One of the things as part of our customer service, what we found is as we're expanding so rapidly, one of the things that we want to make sure communities understand is, who are these people in my backyard? So what we have is a construction communication plan. And what we'll do is once we achieve local franchise approval, we'll come and work with the staff here in the city to talk about how best to let the citizens know in an educational way who we are and what we're coming in with to Yorkville. And what we have is a whole plan in place whereby we'll work with the city on appropriate press releases, letting people know that we're coming in. We'll email if an HOA wants us to come and make a presentation so that they will understand we'll be in the public right away. We'll do that. We have three pieces of communication that we do immediately. As soon as we receive a permit for a particular area, what we'll do is we'll go in prior to locate and provide just a little stake in the ground. You'll see a sample in a moment, like when you get your lawn done, just a little stake that says MetroNet with an 800 number of people have questions to call us. We also have, everyone will get a letter from us saying who we are and explaining what we're doing as far as installing this infrastructure. And we also have a card that comes to remind citizens who we are and what we're doing. So we work very hard on letting people know what we're doing, how we're providing this infrastructure. A lot of the cities we've worked with, they put our construction communication link on their website as just an informational piece, so whereby we can take the calls or any questions that they might have. I just put a sample of the website. What will happen is once we get local franchise approval, we design a city before we ever come in. And we work with the city on telling them, you know, asking them and working with them on what parts of the city we're going to come into first. Typically, it's toward our backbone. And then what we'll do is we'll permit different areas. Once we get the local franchise approval, one of your residents can go to our website, click on Yorkville, and a map will pop up and show them where we are within the city's boundaries and deploying our fiber. This is just what the notice looks like. If an HOA wants something at the gate entrance or the entrance to their HOA, we have a construction sign, and everybody gets that little yard marker construction notice letting them know what we're doing. One of the things that we also pride ourselves on is our restoration. We believe that everybody is a potential customer for us, so we're very big about our restoration. So they have 48 hours when you move away from a particular area or a yard to restore that. The other thing we pride ourselves on, which is still, I monitor this, has not been used in all the communities we've been in, especially in Illinois, is that we have a project manager or project lead that comes to Yorkville and stays here and is local. This project lead has 24 hours to respond to a potential resident during this process who has a question or a concern. I have 24 hours to respond to that, and we track it. So we're proud of that as well. And that's it. We're looking forward to working with the city and coming in and expanding further. We just finished up Montgomery, and we're adjacent to Yorkville, and so we're finishing up local franchise, and we're going to be having that to staff for internal discussion. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, certainly.
My name is Joel Frieders, and along with that gentleman in the purple, we are in the third ward, which is the closest ward partially to Montgomery. I think we would take it upon ourselves to graciously welcome you to our community. All of my questions are extremely selfish, like they have nothing to do, because everything that you just addressed are all the things that would kind of pop up as red flags. So first of all, succinct, great presentation, bless you. I remember we talked about this, and I had spoken with a couple guys from Montgomery about it, and it all seems like nobody believes you, which is a pretty cool place to be. I know I spend close to 100, I just spent $230 last month. I'm now hopefully down to under 60. But we've already gotten rid of cable, and I know that our last link is our internet. And knowing that that's only good for a 6-month price, and then it doubles. And I've never gotten what I've paid for. This is extremely exciting. Just from a complete, like, I'm a resident right now. I'm extremely excited about not spending $250 a month potentially on things that I barely even use because they don't work.
And you know what's interesting? The bottom line is this: some people perhaps are. Their service. What we believe is that competition is always good whenever we come into a city, because what that does is it enables your residents to have a choice. And when we first come in, people say, well, you do a special, and then jack our prices up, and I go, well, we don't have contracts. So what you see is what you get. We do allow people to try everything. We want everybody to try whatever we have, but our prices are straightforward and are very competitively priced. So
in light of competition, I'd just like to remind the Honorable Alderman from the Third Ward, or the mayor of some of us, the south of the river.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Also a good place to start.
No grocery stores.
Yes. Right, you're not the people in the mayor of the lane, you're finding off the table. Like all that clutter on the north side.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
It's just been interesting. Because of our success that we've achieved in the last 3 years, we've grown as a company by 200%. So it's been a real rapid influx of growth, and we've come up with things like the construction communication tool as we've gone along. So Bart and I used to joke our first community sort of locally here was Plainfield, and we've done well there, but we didn't have the construction communication tool, and that was less than a year and a half ago. So, but as we continue to grow, we try to get better and better. As a matter of fact, I'm going back to all those communities, Montgomery included, tomorrow to do a debrief with members of our leadership to hear what we did well and how we can improve on some specific areas. So I really think that that's a good thing about being in a middle-sized company.
Thank you very much. We are excited.
Thank you. Thank
we
you.
Clap. I got two claps on the side.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we will go into public hearing. So we're going to public hearing for Dave and Debbie Kaufman, petitioners, that filed an application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, requesting annexation pursuant to an annexation agreement of a tract of property to the city's municipal boundary. The tract of property is generally located south of U.S. Route 34, west of McHugh Road. A total of one parcel is proposed to be annexed pursuant to the annexation agreement, 1990 U.S. Route 34, Veterans Highway. Anyone from the public would like to comment on this? Please step up, sir, and state your name for the record and please sign in.
Thank you, Your Honor. Councilman Mike Ryan Swanson, I'm with ARC Design Resources. ago. It was the proximity of a well. The current well is literally right here, almost on the property line, which creates issues for the proximity of Casey's underground fuel storage tanks, as well as the pumps located here, the tanks and pumps. So really what we look to do was get them off of that well, put them on public water, ultimately public sewer. So Casey's will be constructing that for them.
Levy all the increment related to new construction, about $65,000, $2,000, which is what I had referenced. That same percentage would apply to a library, so that would be a growth of about $58,000 for them too. So that's assuming, again, new construction and inflation for both levies. So Exhibit C is the actual city staff recommendation. So we recognize that to go from property tax decreases in many years to flat last year to a large increase or a maximum allowed under the law might be a little bit difficult to communicate publicly. So our initial recommendation was to only capture the new construction dollar amount and not the inflation. So theoretically, if we have $10 million of new EAB coming online in the city, if you only ask for $65,000 over what you got last year, no property taxes in the city for the city property tax levy should go up. Now, if you have a larger piece of the pie because your home went up 40% and your neighbors didn't, then obviously you pay a little bit more. But everything else being equal, just applying for new construction, property taxes should not go up. So in that scenario, if you were to give the library what they had asked for, that's a 4.17% increase or about $58,000. Is that number right? That doesn't sound right. Didn't we say it was 27? We'll get back to that in a second. Our top people are checking that.
It is 27.
It is 27, okay.
Because in the first slide, I had both of them going up 4%.
Right? Yeah.
In the second slide, it still had the library going up 4%.
Yeah, okay. So that should read 27. That was just an error on my part for not catching that. So that's 27,000. The percentage is correct, right, Rob?
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Yeah. So, getting into the library discussion. So, again, they set their own levy by law. So, they say we're going to levy $800,000, whatever it ends up being. We take that and we apply it in our revenue. We cannot change the dollar amount that they levy. What you can do is apply the property tax cap equally to that levy from last year. So, if they levy $645,000 last year, they're allowed to collect new construction and inflation just like we do. So, that would be 4.17%, or about $27,000 is what it should show on those other slides. So the maximum rate under law, if you were to combine those two property tax cap calculations together, as we did every year leading up to last year, is 15 cents per $100 EAB. As your EAB goes up citywide through growth of normal property taxes, that maximum tax rate does not change for them. So in past years, you saw 30, 40, 50% increases in library property taxes to the detriment of the city property tax, which is why we started to levy separately last year. So they were subject to a normal property tax cap last year, and again, the recommendation is continuing to do that in the future. So, but we get into our new slides here. I'll label it with this nice new yellow star. So this was not in your packet. So last night at the board, the library requested a maximum levy of 15 cents per $100 EAB. So they didn't necessarily give us a dollar amount, they gave us a rate, which we've done that in the past, and you're not really supposed to do. So, but that translates to an estimate of $743,000 in total property tax levy, which is a 15% increase over what they got last year for about $97,000, more than last year as well. So we didn't actually draft it up because I wanted to see what everybody's at least feedback was before we take this to a future meeting and vote on it. But if you look at Exhibit A, B, and C, Exhibit D, fourth option would be, if you're okay with the city council only collecting $55,000 in new construction from last year to this year, so not foregoing that inflation factor of $65,000, there is theoretically a scenario where you could combine levies and actually give them 15 cents per $100 EAV. We would lose $6,000, I mean, as a result of it, but they would gain $97,000. So it is legally possible for you to do that. So if you look at Exhibit A, B, and C in the packet, okay, they're all calculated as separate property tax levies between the city and the library. So if you just say, we're going to endorse Exhibit A, Exhibit B, city would only collect a partial increment on new construction, and the library would capture all of their new construction, all of their inflation, and all of our inflation because we're calculating them together. So you'd be giving them, you know, a portion under our tax cap if you wanted to do that. So in that scenario, like I said, we'd be paying about $6,000, and the library property tax line item would increase 15% to $97,000. So there are two main policy questions for you to think about tonight that I would appreciate some feedback because I know the library board has been asking, and they probably just don't want to hear it from me, they don't want to hear it from everybody else. But you don't have to make a decision tonight. Is one, does the city council want to levy the maximum amount under tax catalog, or do they want to forego a portion for inflation, which was a staff recommendation? And if so, if you want to forego a portion, do you want to give the library your portion of the inflation to allow them to levy 15% or not? So if the answer is we're going to levy the city as much as possible under the property tax cap, there is not a scenario where you can give them 15 cents or $100 EAB and not have the city actually end up losing money. So the two questions, do you want to levy the maximum amount under city law or less? And if you want to levy less, do you want to allow the library to capture your amount? So those are the two things that I would appreciate feedback on this meeting. So just moving on to just some general tax facts. It is notable that the police pension contribution actually decreased from last year to the previous year. This was the line item within your property tax levy that had been increasing 15, 20% year over year in the future that we were worrying about having to do. So they had a good year. They invested very well. And so our actual contribution went down, which is huge because then that allows us to continue to levy for things and pay for other police things. And again, just the average EAB increase citywide is 8.53%. So if you look at your individual assessment, if it's higher than that, your property tax is probably going to go up no matter what we're going to do. And if it's down just on your city property tax line item, it should go down too. So it's all relative to what your neighbors pay. Again, we're only 6.3% of your tax bill, so that does not include the library. And this is the second year in a row that we're not abating any property taxes. So those abatement ordinances are actually in front of admin. Again, this is a communication strategy that we had for a few years, and so this is the first year of fiscal year 19, which is the next fiscal year, where we did not communicate anything, so this is what we've got in here, equal to new construction for a 2% increase. So this is a public hearing. We've got 2 meetings to discuss this. It has to be filed with the county by the last Tuesday of the month for our calendar year. We do not have a meeting on December 26th, so if we take 2 meetings to discuss it, we have to call a special meeting before December 22nd. So, members of the library board are not here. I know they discussed this at their board meeting last night. I talked to Lisa this morning about it. She said that they were interested in it. So they're aware of the conversation, and they're in the tax room. And then Mike, can I take
it? Okay, it's open for discussion. Anybody? Yes, sir. More
money, we're taking more money. It doesn't matter where it goes to the average taxpayer. So we have to work within our constraints as far as how much money we get in on our budget, and so does the library. So I would not support allowing them to take for inflation, taking our whatever we would need for inflation to their budget. So they would have to work on either 0.15.
Rather than harping on this, I will agree with both of you. That's exactly what I was going to say, but probably a little bit more eloquent.
Good. See if we get a thumbs up. I'd like that in the record, please.
So, just for the record, I know that the library board has been talking a lot about their increased costs and they have a lot of maintenance issues, and we've been trying to work on that with them the past couple of weeks. So we would expect an intergovernmental agreement to come in front of everybody in the next month or so that would then itemize those issues, kind of talk about what their needs are so that we can kind of plug them into a capital basis, similar to how we do every other department.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I was going to say this liaison, but I was there last night. Something else that came up was that they would like to go, they did some research, the president. That there's four referendums that they can go to next year. One being a referendum.
Yeah. Hold on, Jenny. Would this be better for the liaison to join the public hearing for tax levy? Or it don't matter?
Because it kind of, the one referendum, they need to ask for a levy increase that they could use just for building maintenance. And I wrote down it's on 0.9, 0.02. So that was one. And then there was another referendum that is a fund replenishment levy.
It's a working cash fund referendum.
For me.
No, it's working cash fund. And the issue we have is that it is a levy that can be had for 4 years, but there is a payback provision. So it would just be a temporary fix. The 0.02% that it means 2 years, I have to go back to my
so basically, if they decide to go for referendum,
we're kind of on the hook to that referendum too. I mean, we're basically saying that we're doing it for them, or is that how that
works? We would pass the ordinance or the resolution that would put it on the ballot. That is my understanding.
You would have the discretion to do so. They would have the mandate to do so.
Correct.
If they were to do so.
But to do it and still be under the tax cap is an interesting concept. What's the point?
Yes, sir.
When the question was posed to me earlier this afternoon, like, my simple answer is no. Like, when I was in high school, I always wanted to have like the newest everything. And my dad had me like write out a little spreadsheet. Okay, what's all the money coming in? And what's all the money going out? At the end of the day, do you have enough money to buy what it is that you want? If the answer is no, cut something. If the answer is still no, cut something else. If you can't do anything, don't spend the money. So every time that we've kind of had a conversation with the library, either in the room or directed towards the library, it's been like, let's work together. I mean, I thought Tim's idea originally had merit because you don't got to spend 80 grand a year on somebody that you might not need full time. Also, there's a lot of people that work there. So maybe there's a way to overlap people, you know, shifts, all that stuff. I'm not the person who runs operations for the library. But all of these conversations, almost in my opinion, seem like Yorkville's the parents and the library is somehow this teenage son who wants the extra expensive iPhone X. And we're going, well, if you want to do that, you need to make more money. Well, the only way to make more money is to use daddy's bank account to ask for more taxes, which still aren't enough under the cap to make them whole for the 97 grand. Am I? You're giving me the look like I'm not dumb. Okay. Okay. So from my perspective, had they been here and had they submitted this October 26th, which I think was the deadline to discuss this, maybe we would be having a meeting where we're both kind of talking at the same level, but right now it seems like we're passing notes in class and we're trying to figure out what the other really wants. And I get it. You need more money to meet what you've currently done. But if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So in my opinion, trim some people, get some volunteers to work on Sundays. My kids need study time. I mean, there's ways that we can be creative with this, and I think we've already kind of thrown a couple cool ideas their way. And this idea that we're either in, like, we'd like to want to, like, take something that's theirs, there is no theirs. It's Yorkville. I pay taxes here. That's my building. This is my building. This is my old kitchen cabinet. It just seems like we're fighting about something when we're on the same team. Come sit. I will sit with you in there and let's talk about what you're spending money on that you shouldn't be spending money on or that we can help with. That's why I'm like, why are we having this conversation right now? It seems like a very strange method in which to keep doing what you're already doing when I think Yorkville tightened its belt. I mean, you had a room full of people in 06 that weren't there in 07, and they're still providing services. We didn't lose any plow drivers. Mr. Brown is an excellent example. We made things work. We tightened our belt. How come we're the only ones that have to tighten our belt? I mean, we're the ones who constantly get slammed about not having enough money to fix roads. Okay, we're working on it. We're finding new and creative ways of doing it. Why are they the only ones that don't have to adjust their operating budget? We are the only ones that are required. Police, Public Works, Parks and Rec, City Hall. But the library, by all means, do what you gotta do. And this is by no means me slamming the library. I love it just as much as the next guy. Heck, I just made 3 books in 2 years. I love the place. But this is a little ridiculous. So, I should have just done this C. Option C. Sorry for getting out of rant.
Man. Who wants to start top
bid? You have to bring it back.
Yes.
No, I'm in full agreement. I like option C as well. I think you got pretty clear direction.
Yes.
anything else for the public hearing? Thank you. We have any citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening? Only once? All right, no consent agenda. I'll approve a motion to approve the minutes of the regular city council meeting of October 10th, 2017, and the special city council meeting of October 14th, 2017, as presented.
Second.
Comments, questions, or corrections on the minutes? All those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Next, I'll entertain a motion to authorize the purchase to a one-year insurance agreement with American Alternative Insurance Corp., Letfelter, property casualty insurance, in the amount not to exceed $164,413. To authorize the purchase to a one-year insurance agreement with the Illinois Public Risk Fund for Workers' Compensation Insurance, in the amount not to exceed $168,809. And to authorize an entry into a one-year brokerage agreement with Mezzo Insurance Services in the amount not to exceed $19,000.
No. Okay.
Comments or questions on the insurance renewal?
Yes, sir. I have a few. Do you have a moment?
Yes, sir.
I don't have a lot. Just a couple of clarifications. Last year, when we went through the values of all the different properties, and I asked, how do you know that's what the jail is worth? And then we talked about our property study. Then there's a comment on page 171 of the PDF. I don't know what your page is, Bart, but it says, in review of your property schedule, we encourage the city to have a property appraisal completed by an initial property appraisal specialist. That's kind of what we did, right?
There wasn't an appraisal component. There's a replacement value component, but not for, not that it would be different
values. It was for actual, it's a condition study, right? So we couldn't use that. Okay. All right, so you're off the hook on that one, sir. Next, when we talk about, it says, please note that the IPRF is providing the city with a safety grant in the amount of $14,438. Last year's grant was $13,613. The grant must be used by December 1st, 2018. What do we use it on?
Each year we've actually submitted it out to departments, and we've bought everything from exhaust vent systems for our parks facility to ergonomic chairs. To bloodborne pathogen kits, first aid, snow tracks, a whole bunch of different things.
You are batting a thousand.
If I may, the Illinois Public Risk Fund is doing the Safety Grant Plus, which is going to pay 25% of your police department's Lexapol bill. If I suspect that the police department uses Lexapol. So whatever that amount is, they're going to write, I just need a copy of that receipt, and we'll send it over to the IPRF, and they'll cut a check for 25% of that value. I think these safety-related things are working because your workers' comp premium went down as your payroll slightly went up. So you guys are much safer.
We're peeling back the onion, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's all I had. Thank you very much, sir.
Anyone else? Questions, comments? If not, roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Reeders?
Aye.
Turles?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Next is Riverfront parking lot. I'll entertain a motion to approve a proposal from S&K Excavating and Trucking to perform preparation work on the East Riverfront Park parking lot in the amount not to exceed $38,550, now by the mayor to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments, questions?
Yes. You first.
That's actually Tim. So next spring, we would not be paid if that, right? Just put the ground down and all the prep, and then we'll pay for the spring.
I mean, obviously, weather permitting, and depending on how the grant goes, that we're still paying. Technically, the next Riverfront Park does not need to be completed until December of 2018. This section of the park is not part of the grant. So this would be one of the last things we did at the park, just because we want to make sure everything's in the before we start paying.
So paving the back part of this, would that be done on a contract or would it be done in-house? Would that be a machine to do it?
Yeah, I mean, we're anticipating to attempt to do it for staff to save expenses. It's a little more difficult than some of our normal paving areas. So I mean, there could be a possibility that we're just not capable of doing it. But our plan is to know how to try to do it ourselves. We want to pave around 2 years.
Yeah, the only thing that I had highlighted in the whole thing was the five words, no, six words, was, no, of fiber. It was not put to bid. I've taken a number of phone calls just on the Riverfront Park, and I understand the convenience, and I understand they're already there. But being one who talks to a lot of people who provide services like these, every time it says it was not put out to bid, my phone blows up. So while, like I said, I understand it, but that's one thing. Like I like to keep things on the public bid so that we can kind of support people who take the time to bid. But besides that, I'm kind of excited to see the project work its way towards completion. I spend a lot of time down there by myself anyway, so I think it would be kind of cool to be able to explore behind the yak shed without tripping myself. So other than the not being put out to public bid, I'm extremely excited about the project.
$1,000 difference, maybe $1,500 different than what the S&K did.
happen?
I think the biggest downside is you're probably looking at that thing to get off next year. By the time we get the bid, get everything installed, we're probably looking into spring 2019 before we get stuff painted. So I think the staff thought, well, since SMK's going to be down there, we're already behind on these transits to begin with, that this project would get done faster.
Is that because you're assuming it would be paved in house?
Yeah, I mean, we.
price for hanging the baskets?
School district, and he proposed it.
She met with him, I guess, just to meet him, and this came up in discussion. So the board, and there was quite a lot of staff there, discussed like, the logistics of it, and cost. Books, like, you know, kids don't return books. How are they going to cover it? How they affect other, the taxpayers? So they're going to be.
So Jewel, all three Kendall County locations have
plans that mimic all the other 187 corporate locations throughout the area for solid waste. So when you do spend your money, think about how these people are taking care of their trash, because it does impact your life. Also, on a more local note, Crusade Burger Bar is the only restaurant in downtown Yorkville, with the exception of Smokey's, and I didn't grab their certificate because I don't live near the owner of Smokey's. Crusade Burger Bar, certificate of recognition and appreciation of the conscientious emphasis placed upon efforts to recycle in your Kendall County food establishment. That's really freaking cool. So I wanted to thank these two gentlemen over here for putting in the press the fact that your burger joint downtown cares where its trash goes. But then next, and most importantly, Tim Evans, would you please come up here? Get your cameras out, guys. Come on, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
Come on, Tim. Now, this is unbeknownst to Tim Evans. Are you guys going to take pictures, or are you just going to sit there? You're the media. Be media. Come on, I'm going to present this to you, man. Tim has
kids.
Yes, yeah, sure. Tim
they're
has
the ones.
Here, let's get a picture before I explain it.
We'll get a close-up.
Can I photo bomb it?
Perfect.
Now, Tim did not know that Steve Redman, if you guys don't know who Steve Redman is, he's the one under Tim's leadership, along with Tyler and Shea, who run an amazing department, right? Steve was recognized for the Beecher concession stand, certificate of recognition and appreciation of the conscientious emphasis placed upon efforts to recycle in your Kendall County food establishment. Tim, your employees kick a lot of butt. Please give that to Steve.
And well, yes, actually, Steve, you have to give credit to the high school kids that work out there, and that this was their idea of a deal, that they had actually started this before the county sent out a survey, and they were taking it to a recycle bin that Senior Services has over at the Beecher Center. And that it was the high school kids that brought it to him, and then he had contacted the county to submit a survey about it.
The leadership in
North Carolina. It's the high school kids that deserve the credit.
Thank you for getting the certificate.
Yes.
Good job, Steve. Yeah. And one more.
Yes, sir.
Totally kidding.
That's it?
That was three.
Christopher?
I am not near as exciting as
Council. There was a fair
Any additional business? I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for litigation and collective bargaining matters.
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Aye.
Turles? Turles?
Seaver.
Aye.
Mischinski?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Ritter?
Nay.
Maybe.
I know I'm not going to win. So, getting rid of this.